Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the studios of KKNW here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle on 1150 AM. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I wanted to tell everyone I'll be going back to Mount Shasta twice this year from July 1st to the 8th, and again from August 27 to September 3rd, 2020. We always see lots of Sasquatch and many UFOs flying around the mountain, and we always meet Adama and the people of Telos and the Hollow Earth. And we also experience many miracle healings. The cost is just $200 per person, includes free camping. And if you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. Or toll-free at 1-888-879-8339. As I've said several times on the program, by the end of May, middle or end of May, I'm looking for the virus to no longer be a threat to humanity. And so I'll be going back to Peru next month from May 17th to June 5th. I'll be taking a small group of people to Peru to visit some of the world's most spiritual places, including Machu Picchu, Cusco, and Ollantaytambo, Pizac, the Sacred Valley, and Lake Titicaca, and the Nazca Lines in Paracas, which has a museum of hybrid human extraterrestrial skulls. It's an amazing place. There's so many things to see in Peru. I talked during the first hour of the show today about how we were greeted the last time I was there in January, in late January, by a chorus of children singing from Agartha in the Hollow Earth to us as we walked up to a place called Marumoro, which has a beautiful stargate into the Hollow Earth. Several of us put our hands on the either side of this rock chair and on this cliff as a stargate, and the rock started literally moving. Then another fellow who was with us, a friend of mine named Tom out of New Jersey, he looked through the rock, and you could see Agartha on the other side. The rock suddenly became clear. During that trip, we also saw several condor who kept hovering above us. And Admiral Hilarius was also there from the Pleiadians. He was there and guarding us. So it was just an amazing trip. Planning on going back there at the end of May next month. And for those who'd like to come, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. It's an amazing place. The cost is just $497 round trip. And airfares, oh my goodness, airfares have dropped really low. From Vancouver, Canada down to Lima, the cost right now is only $222 on Aeromexico through Mexico City. So if you're interested, please send me an email or give me a call. The one last place I haven't talked about is Paracas. Paracas is located on the Peruvian coast on the Pacific Ocean, and it's got a museum there of hybrid human extraterrestrial skulls. And I say they're ET skulls because if you look at the skulls, they are literally, well, our skulls are rather round, sort of round, but theirs are elongated, and they go back an additional 9 or 12 inches back. They look like the Egyptian pharaohs. And I don't think they were human. I've actually contacted some of the spirits at the museum. So it's an amazing place, and I hope you can come. I'm still raising money for the clean water for the Hopi and Navajo Indians in Arizona. And for the past 60 or 70 years, the Hopi and Navajo have been drinking arsenic and radiation-contaminated water. But with the help of Liam McLaughlin of the Clean Water Foundation of Washington State and Martha Childress of the Natural Choice Network and Michiko Hayashi of the Moto Peace Project, we've been raising money to pay for new water filters so they can drink clean water. There was a wonderful lady named Teresa from Idaho who gave $30,000, and we thank her so much for these new water filters last year. We're continuing our efforts, and for only $125, a new water filter can be purchased to provide clean water for many years to help both the Hopi and the Navajo Indians. The contribution through the Clean Water Foundation is tax deductible. And for anyone who'd like to donate, I can provide more information. Just simply send me an email at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me anytime on my cell at 509-750-9793, and I'd happy to explain the program. I want to continue now with the messages. I have quite a bit more to say. And if we have time, I've got some other guests I'll be bringing on as well. These messages will be incorporated into my new book, which I'm writing, called Journey to the Other Side, Talking to Angels and Other Benevolent Beings. It will be published in Munich, Germany later this year in both English and in German. And there's a chance for those living in Germany that I'll be going there to give presentations on my books later this year. I'll let you know my schedule as soon as I know it. But it's an amazing time to be alive, and I want to continue with these messages. Mother Mary came in, and Jill translated Mother Mary, channeled Mother Mary. She wrote, "Love to humanity. We are all beaming with light at this moment in time. The foundation has been set, and it's truly glorious. We are grateful to all the ascended masters who choose to return to this earth and assist us during this time. We are pouring out our love to you all. Time, as you know it, will cease to exist in the new vibration." Isn't that amazing? "Many here are holding space in the fifth dimension of love for the planet Earth now. Waves of energy are being sent to your planet, and many are feeling it. Take notice of the beauty around you. Remain in a state of love, grace, and gratitude. Remain steadfast, and you shall succeed." Isn't that a beautiful message from Mother Mary? Mary Magdalene also came in right after Mother Mary, and this is channeled again by my wonderful friend Jill. Jill Tower is a wonderful psychic from Montana. She writes her messages, "Bless you all for hearing my message. Remain in love, connecting this love through your heart and mind. You are gifts to humanity, and realize those gifts now and share them, helping others. We are all one, connected, intertwined, and it's time for this truth to envelop your beings. During meditation, ask for the mystery school teachings and spiritual gifts to be brought forward now, so each of you would have the complete understanding of who you truly are. Feel the love of the Supreme Creator within you, around you, and in others. Your potential is limitless. Realize this and know that I am always with you." Isn't that nice? Here's my good friend Albert Einstein, who came in as well. He told me to say, "Shakespeare said, all the world is a stage, and we are actors, all actors upon it." He told me that history goes in cycles, and to borrow a famous quote, "Those who fail to understand the lessons of history are doomed to repeat them." He says that we went through the same drama when Atlantis ended, but we failed back then, but we will win now. You and I, referring to me, worked in a laboratory. We were there during Atlantis to create capacity for energy for this civilization. However, a small clique of military leaders used our work to twist it for their own ends to control the world, and Atlantis unfortunately ended up destroying themselves. We are now back in the same position now, but the light will win this time. Thank you, Ted and Jill, for bringing working together to bring forth all of these messages. You both are making a real difference, and we applaud your efforts, and as well as applaud the efforts of all of humanity who've made a choice now to raise the consciousness of this planet and start the ascension process. We realize this is not easy. But thank you so much to all the light workers of this planet for being service to others, not service to self. He says that, Professor Einstein says, this is the hardest planet in the universe to make any positive changes. But you're doing it, and all of you will be successful. We are all with you 1,000%. So don't ever feel like you're going to lose this battle, as long as you keep trying, and know that the white light is always stronger than the dark. So that was from Professor Einstein. He's an amazing man, and he's with us now, actually helping us get through this dark period. I know it will end soon. I expect everything to be back to a new normal by June, early June, and I say new normal because many of the negative entities will not be around to influence the history of this planet anymore. I'm not sure what's going to happen to them, but that's what they've been told, that many of them, I think, will be arrested. Others just won't be here, and they won't be influencing the planet anymore in a negative way like they have been. This is the Pleiadian Admiral. I call him Admiral Hilarious, but I don't think that's correct. He corrected me now, and it's Halosaurus. He says that's better, but I'm sorry. I don't mean to make, I'm not making fun of his name, but I just, it's easiest to pronounce. But Admiral Halosaurus says, the entire universe is watching you now, for you are the best and most exciting show around in this universe. Hmm. And then he said, he told me to tell you all that we, the Pleiadians, owe a karmic responsibility to planet Earth. 52,000 years ago, he told me that the Pleiadians had a long civil war among our peoples, and many of us, including yourself, left the Pleiades to come to Earth. We were escaping conflict among our civilization for one reason. Another reason was that there was a nuclear war, and he said that 60 million people of the Pleiadian civilization were killed. So as a result of that, many escaped in large motherships, and many of us came here in those ships, including myself, came to Earth. After that time, we left you alone for 10,000 years. But he says that we made a mistake. We shouldn't have shrunk from our responsibilities to help you. We chose to help. We are choosing to help you now, although the universe has the prime directive of leaving planets alone, of non-interference for their own evolution. And the reason why we've stepped in is that if we didn't step in now, we're afraid that you might make the wrong choices and end up destroying yourself. But that's not going to happen. The planet is slated for ascension, and it's going to happen. We will join you here on the planet in physical form in the higher dimensions after the when the ascension is completed. And we are so proud of your spiritual progress and are here to help. Call on us anytime during this crucial time. Now, when you contact the Pleiadians, it's a good idea. It's interesting the way they greet themselves. They put their hand over their heart. So if you're right-handed, just put your hand over your heart. And if you're left-handed, put your left hand over your heart. And you bow your head slightly and just send them lots of love and light. They feed off that. They're a very benevolent and beautiful civilization. And we are seeded from them, and they look just like us, except that they're just simply in a higher dimension. But they're just like us. They live, however, for at least 1,000 years and more. And so and they're amazing, and they're all here helping us. So know that we're getting help. Finally, I'd like to wrap up all of these messages, the best for last from Jesus. And this was channeled by Jill, my friend in Montana, and I'll read what she wrote. She writes, "This is the end of times as you know it. Those that choose to go through the planet's ascension will be entering into a beautiful reality full of opportunities and spiritual advancement. I would ask humanity to ready themselves by forgiving one another, including their families, neighbors, and those that you perceived or to have judged them who've done wrong. Also forgive yourselves and for anything that you've done, and help one another and be of service to them. Because if you don't, then you won't be able to ascend." He said, during this time, this is a time to reflect and let go of the old in preparation for the new. And he said that during this time, this ascension time, unwanted negativity across the planet will be released and removed as you release, forgive, and heal, making way for the surging of a higher vibration. He also said to please love one another and yourself. Fill your heart space with unconditional love and allow the overflow to spread out across the planet, helping all those people who may need it now. Anything is possible with love. I will always be there helping mankind and have never left you and humankind. Ask and you will receive. Isn't that a beautiful message? My goodness. He came in toward the end of our channeling sessions after so many hours of channeling, and it was such a delight to get his messages. He's here with us, and we're getting so much help. As my friend Albert Einstein has talked about with the bomb of love. I'll just read a couple of quotes from that as well. That's a long letter that Albert Einstein wrote to his daughter Listrel back in 1955, and he asked her to keep the letter, to please keep the letter for 30 years. So she did, and she didn't release it, I don't think, until the late 80s. And I'll read this briefly. I'll finish this up with this quote from quotes from Albert Einstein. He wrote, when I want to get it here, my computer. He wrote, when When I proposed the theory of relativity, very few understood me, and what I reveal now will collide with misunderstanding and prejudice in the world. He said that the universal force in the universe is love, and he said when scientists look for a unified theory of the universe, they forgot the most powerful unseen force, that's love. He writes, love is light that enlightens those who give it and receive it. Pardon me, love is gravity because it makes some people feel attracted to others. Love is power because it multiplies the best we have and allows humanity not to be extinguished in their blind selfishness. Love unfolds and reveals. For love we live and die. Love is God and God is love. And he writes, this force explains everything and gives meaning to life. It's the variable that we've ignored for too long because we need to look at love now. And he writes, if we want our species to survive, if we are to find meaning in life, if we want to save the world and every being that inhabits it, love is the one and only answer. Perhaps we're not ready yet to make a bomb of love, a device powerful enough to destroy the hate, selfishness, and greed that devastates the planet. But however, each person carries within them a small but powerful generator of love whose energy is waiting to be released. When we learn to live and give this universal energy of love, we will affirm that love is conquers all, is able to transcend everything and anything, because love is the quintessence of the essence of life. Isn't that beautiful? And Albert just came in to ask me to read that. With that, it's unfortunate, but Michiko Hayashi is not able to come on today. But I'll tell you briefly what she's been doing. She's been using the same Hado machine that Dr. Emoto has used before he passed away in 2014 to heal the world. And what Dr. Emoto would do, he said that everything was vibration or Hado. Hado is Japanese for vibration. And so he would have a person either put their picture on this Hado machine, and he would program, the machine would be able to program water to help heal a person's or diagnose and heal a person's, let's say, sprained ankle or depression or all kinds of things he would use it for. And he was successful in using it for like about 10,000 people before he passed away in October of 2014. Well, Michiko's been doing this all week now, and she's taken a picture of the planet, and she's put it on this electronic pad for the Hado machine, and she's programmed it to heal the planet. Now when she did that with the help of a gentleman named Seiichiro Yoshinuchi, who's a wonderful scientist within the Emoto office, and he got the codes for her to use in this machine to heal the planet. So she's been doing it all week long, and I know she's continuing to do it. It's too bad she's not here today. A lot of people wanted to hear her, but she's doing wonderful work. And please, everyone listening today, please send her lots of love and light, because she's doing something that's so beautiful and so necessary to heal the planet. And I hope she can continue this for many weeks and months to come. It's a wonderful project she's doing, and I know all of humanity really appreciates her beautiful work. And again, I wanted to say this before, but there will be a time in the next 4 to 6 weeks where the virus will be gone. It will no longer be a problem, no longer be a threat. The thing that I'm concerned about personally is that I hope we can get our freedom back. As you know, sometimes negative entities and negative governments want to hold on to the power that they've gotten during this time. And so, but I hope we could, I know we will be going back to the freedom that we had before. And it's going to be a beautiful time. And this is the start, my angel friends tell me, of a brand new chapter in human history, where we'll be truly entering into a new golden age. Everything's been speeded up through this virus process, and I know there's just some really beautiful times all ahead of us. I'd like to bring on Eric. I know my producer, it's a little bit early. I'd love to bring on Betty Steinheiser now from Toronto, Canada. I'll bring her on a little earlier. Just let me know when you're able to reach her. Betty's a wonderful lady. She's written a book on being a spiritual warrior that has just come out. And I wanted to bring her on now to talk about how she wrote her book. I think it's absolutely perfect for this time. And we're in the middle of of this virus situation, not only in the United States, but also Canada, and of course, around the world. And she's written a very inspiring and positive book about how all of us can be a spiritual warrior to help heal the planet. I think she wrote it from her own experience as a light worker for the past 20 or 30 years. But she's a wonderful lady, and I'll just wait till we can get her on the air now. And I wanted to tell everybody that this will, like I said before, will end soon. And one of the things you could do now, if you have time, is to go ahead and order a copy of Betty's book, and she'll tell you a little bit about her message. So anyway, Betty, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Good Friday to everyone, and I hope things get better in the world.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Well, tell us a little bit about your work and how you started on your book.
Okay, well, about 7 years ago, I was hit by a car, and I had just retired, and I had written my first book, which was a story of my life called My Way, and I decided that I just wanted to sell everything, give everything up, and just start to travel. And I've always loved traveling, so everything in my apartment was either sold or given away, and I really have been traveling the world for the last 7 years. I call myself a nomadic intern, and I have been to about 155 countries, and I don't do it as a tourist. I do it as a traveler. I do it in learning more about the cultures and as meeting many people as I can. And 2 years ago, I call myself homeless by choice. And basically, I have suitcases that are stored all over the world. I've never learned how to be very economically sound with my suitcases and my clothes. But about 2 years ago, a person came to me and asked me if I was interested in looking at spiritual intelligence. And I really had no idea what it was. Emotional intelligence, I had certainly heard of, but not spiritual intelligence. And so I looked into it, and I talked to a number of people around the world, and then I decided this could be a book that people could really learn from. So last year, I interviewed 40 people from all walks of life, doctors, medical people, businessmen, nonprofit people, people of all ages, and people I had met on my travels, and also individuals that were involved with a spiritual group that I have been involved with for years called the Brahma Kumaris. And I had first gone to India as a guest of the Brahma Kumaris about 30 years ago. So I interviewed all of these people and asked them what they thought spiritual intelligence was and how it applied to what was going on in the world today. How were they dealing with the chaos of the world? How were they dealing with the uncertainty of the world? And then also to share with me a little bit about their life and how they gained this insight in terms of being spiritual intelligent. So I took this on as a project, and I didn't think that I would learn too much at all because, you know, basically I thought maybe I knew it all. Who knows? But I learned a tremendous amount, and I learned that people had given so much of their time to me and so much of their energy and their conversation, and I felt very blessed, and I felt a lot of gratitude. So that's it in a nutshell, Ted.
Well, good. I was going to make a joke and say, could you please tell me in 25 words or less how you got interested?
I'm sorry. Okay. I'll stop talking. You can ask me questions.
Yeah. Well, before I forget, it's of all the topics to cover now, especially in this time, is a time when everybody is like being a spiritual warrior in a way.
That's right.
Don't they?
I mean,
that's what we are. We are all spiritual warriors. And I know if you're listening the first part, but I got messages from Archangel Michael, who's a warrior, John F. Kennedy, Nostradamus, a lot about how well we're doing with this transition. I know it's tough. They told me last year there would be challenges, of course, with this ascension. But the bad boys have lost the battle, and I know we are winning. What started you? So we went on this journey, and this book is a compilation of the lessons that you learned during that. Okay, in a guidebook for humanity, how we can how we can get through this period in human history?
Well, I think it's looking at, you know, it's looking at what we deal, how we deal with certain situations, and it's looking at how you can develop a value system and be very true to yourself. Because as you know, learning who we are and finding out who the core of us is what being spiritual is all about. And being spiritual takes in everything. It takes in religion. It takes in everything there is in the world. And I think that the more we look at what is happening now in the world, and the more we look at it as this is what's going on, and please try not to be fearful about it. Many people have anxiety. Many people are fearful. But they have to somehow get beyond that and just really be true to who they are as a person. Does that make any sense?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You always have to follow your heart, mind, whatever you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And when I first started on this journey 30 years ago, it was I met a very special lady by the name of Daddy Jenke, who just passed away at 104 last week, matter of fact. And she was really kind of my mentor for all of these years. And she spoke Hindi, and I didn't speak Hindi at all. I spoke English, and we somehow just kind of blended together, and I learned so much from her. So when I went to see her last year, and she at 104 was quite ill, and I phoned her caregiver, and I said, can I please come for a visit? I'm writing this book. And I went to her, and I said, Daddy, what's your definition of spiritual intelligence? And she sat very quietly, and she looked at me, and she thought, and she thought. And I said to her caregiver, she's not telling me anything. And she said, she's thinking. And all of a sudden, she took my hand, gave me a great big smile, and said, inner light. And that, to me, was amazing, because this woman of 104, her wisdom is so deep to come up with the definition of spiritual intelligence, inner light. I just thought it was brilliant.
Wonderful. Wonderful. For people sitting at home tonight, today, listening to the listening to the broadcast, what advice would you give them regarding this virus? I call it a scare. I don't personally.
Well,
I don't think that's
serious. Yeah, you call it a scare.
Yeah.
I think they have to first of all do what I'm in Canada right now, and I've traveled around the world, but I'm very fortunate to be back here because I think our politicians are dealing with it extremely well. I think they're trying to take the burden off of people financially, and I think just to be true, to find out who you are, be true to yourself, and to look after the people around you in the best way you can possible, to love, have gratitude, to find as much peace as you can, and also to follow the rules, because I think the more we follow the rules, and I think the more we stay with the boundaries of wearing the mask, wearing the gloves, doing what we're told to do, the virus will lessen. At least that's what they've told us, and that's what I believe will happen around the world. And if you look at the countries that are doing that, things are beginning to happen. Even in India, with a billion population, they're controlling it. And so that, to me, is quite amazing that you can do it with that type of population and in that type of culture.
Right, right. Well, a lot of things, of course. Our media, I don't know what Canada's like, but here our media in the United States is controlled. And, for example, YouTube just banned any videos at all on President Trump. They took 300 off. They've also banned all programs on vaccinations down here, and they're going to do that next for 5G. So we don't, our news system is rather, well, filtered.
Well, you're dealing with fake news. Is that a proper way to call it? Is that an appropriate name?
I guess you could call it
all over the world, people are looking at President Trump, and he's just becoming more surreal and more or less believable as time goes on. Ted, that's all I can say.
Yeah, well, I don't get into politics on the show, so I just try to keep it
positive. Okay, I won't say anything else.
Thank you. I do see a time after I look at the virus ending by the end of next month, and then it's going to get things.
I hope you're right.
Well, my angels, I trust Albert Einstein. I also trust Nostradamus. I trust Jack Kennedy. And that's what they told me. So, I mean, they haven't been wrong at anything yet they've told me. So, I mean, I trust them more than I do CNN as to what's going to happen.
So you're saying the end of April or the end of May?
End of May. end of May.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, end of May. And all these measures that we've taken will bear fruit. And the virus itself, from what I know, is a bioweapon that was created by Bill Gates out of a laboratory to decrease the world's population. But it's not going to work. So anyway, that's what I know.
Okay. Well, if people are interested in this book, there are a number of chapters, and you can pick up the book and just look at something you're interested in and read that chapter, or you can go through the whole book. And I think what I'm finding is that people are reading this, are reading a chapter, putting it down and thinking about it, because there's some very diverse thoughts in this. And so being spiritually intelligent, a lot of people really don't know what that is. And I interviewed people that said to me at the beginning of the interview, I have no idea what you're talking about. But as we got into the interview, because I chose people on their humility and their humanity to be interviewed, and that was my own personal criteria. So I think you'll find that throughout the whole book.
Well, tell me this. What message did Daddy Junkie give us for humanity in this time? I think that would be great to share it if you could.
Well, I think that it's basically we're all on this earth as one, and for us to basically have the gratitude to care for one another and to love God. But God could be many things. God isn't just one whatever. It's a number of things. So I think that Daddy Junkie, first of all, wanted people to believe in themselves and to believe in who they were as a person. And then she always said, if you take care of you, then you can go out and take care of other people. So sometimes, I know for me, that taught me, that took me a long time to learn, because I thought caring for me first was being very selfish. But it's not being selfish, because if you can care for you first, then you can give to other people. I always say, it's like being on a plane when they tell you the oxygen mask, put it on yourself first before you put it on your kids. So you're taking care of you before you can take care of other people. And that was her message for a number of years. It's very simple, but to me it's a very honest, true message.
Uh-huh. That's beautiful. Now, of course, what did she say about meditation? Could you explain that? I know the BKs do a lot of wonderful, beautiful meditation. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Well, she says meditation is just the whole art of being still. And being still for people is a very, very difficult concept. The very first time I was asked to meditate and go into silence, I panicked. I was in Oxford, England, and I was staying at one of the BK retreat centers, this beautiful Georgian home. And this meditation teacher, who has now passed away by the name of Anthony Strano, said to me, I want you to go into silence for the afternoon. And I literally said, I can't do that. There's no way I can do that. And he said, no, you're going to do it. And I went to the garden, and I sat there for about a half an hour, and I was so panicky, and I was very nervous, and I was sweating. And then all of a sudden, I started to relax and go into silence, and I found I could do it. And it's the most beautiful part, I think, of if when I go through a day, if I haven't meditated, then I get kind of, it's not that I have anxiety, but I get kind of busy. I get kind of irky. I don't quite fall into things the way I should. But if I meditate first thing in the morning for half an hour, which is when I normally do it, then I'm in good sync with myself and everything else during the day, and things happen. So I don't know all the mysterious things of meditation, but all I can tell you is it honestly helps. In everything you do in life, if you can sit quietly and just kind of take, and you can meditate anywhere. You don't have to sit in a room that's specially for meditation. I can meditate on a park bench somewhere. I can meditate sitting in a car somewhere. It's just having that stillness of mind, stillness of yourself, and just being in a little bit of quiet, a little bit of silence. That to me is meditation. To me, it's a very simple thing to do.
Uh-huh.
But it took me a while to learn it.
is that a way to connect with God and the higher spirits?
Yes, I think it's a way to connect with God. And I don't like to use that term because not all the time, because not sometimes that kind of puts people off. And to me, you can connect with whatever source you want to connect with. If it's God, if it's just yourself, if it's someone else you want to connect with that you haven't seen in a long time, a family member. It's just a very good way of connecting with whomever and whatever you want to connect with. And God is certainly the ultimate goal. But some people, it takes them a long time to get to that. It took me a long time before I could say the word God, because I lost a child when I was a young mother, and she died at a year old, and I blamed God for a lot of years. And it was probably only 10 years ago where I could say the word God without choking. So it took me a long time personally to come through that.
Are you okay now? I mean,
I'm fine now. Oh no, yeah. I can say God, I'm perfectly fine. But it took me, it was about 10 years ago when I finally could do it without saying, hey, you know, I blame God and I do whatever, because I realize it's not God's fault. And it's part of life, and it's part of karmic accounts, and it's part of all kinds of things. So God, but God to me was like an enemy for a lot of years. But not anymore.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. Are you in Toronto, right? Is it locked down there? What is it like there?
Toronto, we're certainly playing by the rules. We have we've had in Canada, I think, about 1,000 deaths so far. So we're not in bad shape compared to other parts of the world. In Toronto, I think we've had 50 or 60. And I haven't seen the numbers today. We're doing a lot of testing. The parks are closed. People can't go in the parks. You can't take your kids to the playground. They padlock the playgowns. You wear masks and you wear gloves when you go out. You're only supposed to go out grocery shopping or to the drugstore once a week or once every 10 days. And it's very fearful. I mean, I was out yesterday doing grocery shopping, and I felt that there was such a level of fear in the supermarket. You line up when you go in. They only take in a few people at a time, and then that's the way you get to the bank. That's the way you get to anywhere. But people are they're feeling the fear. You can feel just the fear that people just don't know what's going to happen next. And we're being told that this could go on for another 12 weeks. But I hope you're right with your calculation, Ted.
I don't believe it.
And we'll see, because they say another 12 weeks, and they're also saying that we haven't hit our high peak yet. We still have to have much more trouble, and then we're going to, you know, hit the curve, as they say. And they're also saying there could be a number of strains of this as we go through for the next year. So I don't believe it.
I don't believe any of it. I think it's all fear porn. I do. And Trudeau, Justin Trudeau, I don't know what you think about him. I don't want to get in politics, but didn't he ask Parliament a couple of weeks ago to suspend themselves so he could have total taxation and spending authority, legislative authority over Canada for the next two years?
Major error in judgment doing that. That was just ridiculously silly, because he was playing politics at the worst time. He was playing politics with people's health, and that was dumb. But I never said that.
Right.
That was just very bad business, okay?
Yeah.
And I think he suffered through that. And I think, I think our premier of our province of Ontario, even though many people don't like him, he's telling it the way he is, and he's being a very straight shooter and doing a very good job. And I think Trudeau learned a lesson by what he tried to do a couple of weeks ago. In fact, I'm amazed that you know that. Was that in your press there, Ted?
No, I have many friends in Canada, and they tell me what's going on.
Okay, so that
I don't hear it.
Did do that? Yes, absolutely.
So I think
there's fear here, and I think people are unsure. And we're told, as I said, that this thing is going to last for 12 more weeks, and that's a long time. I mean, I, for example, have many plane reservations the next few weeks, and I'm trying to figure out what to do with those. But you know, I'm safe, and I'm happy, and I'm in a good house with good people. So you have to count your blessings.
Well, David Wilcox, in a video, I think it was 4 or 5 days ago, he said that what the negative entities have not been able to accomplish with the virus in terms of, you know, a lot of deaths, even more than we had, and making even more people sick than we already have, are now trying to scare people with the mass media, which they still control. with false figures on, for example, I'll give you an example. The CDC in the United States is a private corporation owned 15% by Bill Gates. And they've been lumping flu deaths and flu illnesses with the coronavirus, even though there's a distinction between the two. But they've been lumping them together because every year we have people get sick from the flu in the United States, Canada, other countries. And we also have people die from that. I mean, like in 2018, 118,000 people died from the flu. Was there any one story in the media on that? No, nothing. But we have, I don't know how many people now have perished from this, gotten sick, but it's far less, about 50% of the regular flu era. So to give things some perspective, the CDC, which is 15% owned by Bill Gates, is now lumping regular flu illnesses and deaths with the coronavirus, so inflating the numbers. So it makes it look worse than it is. The good thing, though, is that with North America coming into springtime now, and you're getting much more sunshine and UV, that should help get rid of the virus, simply because ultraviolet light kills the virus, kills flus, kills coronavirus. So we're going to see a decline in it. And one of my concerns is the governments may try to hold on to this police state power that they've tried to get illegally, in my opinion.
Yep.
To hold on to it, because they love power. Some of them love power. Some of them
ego
love power.
Ego and power, Ted. Ego and power. Ego.
Yeah, they like to hold on to it. So, you know, I mean, Benjamin Franklin said, "We gave you a republic if you can keep it," kind of thing. So, but I think the virus will go away here soon, by the end of May, middle or end of May. And when it does, then things will get back on track, and people will. And then they'll ask their leaders, their governments, you know, hey, give us our freedom back. We don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
But it'll work itself out. All of my angels say that we're headed to ascension. So I'm not, I'm concerned, but on the other hand, I'm not that concerned. I'm not so concerned about the virus. I am concerned about our governments and how they're reacting to it.
Yeah. I just don't know what state the world will be left in after this is over. Because I think people are going to be dealing with a new reality. I think we have an economic reality. I think we have a technology reality. And, you know, will things change for the best, or what will we be left with? And I guess that's going to be very interesting to watch, just how people react, and corporations and the banks and politicians and the services and just whatever. What changes will be? And hopefully it's for the positive. And hopefully we'll be left with a kinder, gentler population.
Yeah, well, people will make, I think, choices to be more considerate of humanity and other people and service to others.
I think it'll
help that. Yeah,
Help that. So all of those things I've said in my book. So I'm glad this was published now, because my publisher was going to wait and not publish this book until May. And for some reason, he chose to publish it in February. So I'm very, very pleased.
Okay.
If he had waited till May, it wouldn't have been published till next year.
Great. Well, Betty, could you give us the title of your book again, and where people can get a hold of it?
It's called In Search of Spiritual Intelligence. It's on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble's. It's Goodreads. You can get the printed version. You can also get the Kobo and the Kindle, and it's also on Google Books.
Okay, good.
So
okay.
I think it's in a wide, and if you type in In Search of Spiritual Intelligence by Betty Steinhauer, it will come up. And it's published by Fisher King in the UK, which is a very nice boutique publishing company. And it's kind of a cute little story, if you have, Ted, how I got this publisher. I was speaking to the Rotary Club in Cambridge in the UK just about my life as a nomadic intern and how I live my life. And this fellow came up and he said to me, there's someone you need to meet. The next day I was on a train, met this publisher. We had a lovely two-hour lunch, and he signed me to the contract. So I was delighted. It made my life a lot easier.
Oh, good.
Pardon?
That's nice.
Yeah, so
that's
it was a
nice.
Perfect way for everything fell into, as you would call, what would you call that? Everything was in the right place, so everything was in sync.
Yeah, well, Albert.
So, yes, Amazon is the best place. And it's also worldwide. So it's in America, and it's in Canada, it's in India, UK, Europe. It's on all of the Amazons worldwide.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Well, we have so much to be thankful for, Betty, and thank you again
for sharing
this with us on the air. Could you give your title again, and so people can find it?
It's called In Search of Spiritual Intelligence. So you just have to remember the "in." So In Search of Spiritual Intelligence by Betty Steinhauer, and I would say Amazon, Barnes & Noble in the States, and any other place where good books are sold, you will find it. And it has this like very psychedelic cover with all kinds of like whirling dervishes, and it's going to the core of who you are. That's the whole purpose of the cover. So thank you, Ted. I really appreciate the opportunity. And to all of your listeners, stay well, stay safe, and be true to yourself and love the people around you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Betty, for coming on today.
Okay.
Really appreciate
it. Thanks, Ted. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for your work. All right. Bye-bye. Bye. That was Betty Steinhauer from Toronto, Canada, talking about her new book, Spiritual Warrior, and the book couldn't have come out at a better time. We've got a few minutes left in the program today, and I thank everyone so much for listening. And I wanted to finish up the hour with this quote from President Kennedy. I read it on my last show, too, and I think it's worth repeating again. And it's a message President Kennedy wanted to give to all of you, and I'll read it again. My fellow Americans, fear not, because we only have fear itself to fear, which is nothing, as Winston Churchill once said. I'm with you on the other side, and I've never stopped being your president since I was assassinated in 1963. I and Jackie, the First Lady, and all of our angel friends are all helping you to get through this time. The virus will no longer be a threat by the end of May, with most things returning to a new normal by early June. And just as fast as the virus appeared, it will also just as fast disappear from this planet. It was created as a bioweapon to harm humanity, but the negative entities who created and released this virus will fail in their efforts. And please don't listen to the negativity in the media. It's not as bad as they say it is. As I mentioned, this is from my own comment, the CDC, which is owned 15% by Bill Gates, has been grouping regular flu cases and deaths with the coronavirus, so to inflate the numbers, so to make it appear that there's more virus cases when there isn't. President Kennedy says, "You are all powerful spiritual beings who are creating a beautiful new and wonderful world, and nothing can stop this ascension. We are all at the finish line for a beautiful new earth, and we are all here for a reason, and I know you will be successful. Godspeed to all of you listening today, and know that the new earth is almost here." He writes, he told me he tried to create this beautiful new world when he was president in the 60s, but because humanity's destiny is to create a beautiful, peaceful, and harmonious, loving planet, you're now ascending. Let no one and nothing stop you on your path to happiness. I am John F. Kennedy. Jackie and I are always with you, and we love you all. Also, Nikola Tesla wants me to read his message, which I read before. He bears repeating. The technology exists now to get rid of this virus, and many countries have this healing technology. But so far, they're not sharing it. But they will be soon. And the fear actually creates a low vibration and supports the virus. But he says, keep your spirits high, keep your immune system high, and stay away from the 5G cell towers, because the 5G destroys the body's immune system and they open up the body to the virus. He says that all the 5G cell towers around the world should be shut down immediately because they're helping to spread the virus. The virus also has a lot of that to do with consciousness. So we have to stay out of fear and keep your vibration as high as possible, and the virus cannot affect you. The virus will peak by this peaking now and no longer be a threat by the end of May. And just as fast as it appeared, it will also disappear just as quickly. And I wanted to tell everyone that good things are on the way, and we have nothing to fear. The main thing is to keep your immune system high. One of the things that I do myself is I take a mixture of vitamin C and baking soda during the day. That boosts your immune system and makes you feel much better, and it'll disappear just as fast as it came up. We're all here for a purpose. We all chose to be here. at this time. And if nothing else, this time of shutdown has forced us all to meditate and be with families. If we have families, to be with families. And it's a time for reflection. Soon enough, that my spirit friends say that we will be back working, all of us, and the economy will repair itself, and we'll get back on track. This was an attempt, I think, as a bioweapon to hurt humanity and to stop our evolution and ascension, but it's not going to work. And there's a lot of good people out there doing a lot of good things, helping with this. As I said earlier, Michiko Hayashi has been doing her healing with the planet. She uses her Hado machines to heal the planet. She's been doing this every day now, and she's had a lot of really beautiful posts on Facebook. What she does, she takes a picture of the planet, puts it on top of this Hado electronic pad, and programs it to heal the planet. And so she's been doing that every day, and I know that it's been helping. Dr. Emoto, before he passed away, said that everything was vibration or Hado. And if you correct the vibration for either yourself, your friends, loved ones, or even a whole planet, you can change things for the better. And this is what she's doing, and I applaud her on her efforts. Her website, if you wanted to find out more about her work, is www.emotopeaceproject.net. That's E as in Edward, E-M-O-T-O, peaceproject.net. And she does a lot of wonderful work, and she also distributes children's books around the world, teaching kids around the world to love and to be in love and gratitude with each other. The planet is shifting now from one of service to self to service to others, and this is really an exciting time to be alive. And I know it's my spirit and angel friends say by the end of next month, end of May, we will be starting to shift already into the fifth dimension. This is now ahead of schedule. We were slated to start in July at Mount Shasta and some other places in the world, but now the planet itself will be shifting in many places around the world into the fifth dimension early. Because this time, the shutdown has not been a lot of fun, but it's given people a chance to think, I think, and be at home, to think about what's really important. And of course, families is most important. Being with friends and family and sending love and light to the world is most important. And it's all forced us to take time out and think about what's really important in life. The purpose of my show, of course, is to raise consciousness and make this world a better place. And I want to thank everyone so much for supporting Out of This World Radio. It's a nonprofit radio program supported entirely by donations. And any amount you'd like to donate always helps. Also, I urge you to send a donation, if you like, to the Hopi, for the Hopi, for clean water, and also to the Emoto Peace Project, which Michiko distributes these books to the kids around the world to teach them love and gratitude to make the world a better place. We are creating a much better and happier world now, and I guarantee you that within a couple of months, the planet itself parts of the planet will be shifted early into the fifth dimension, and will be start the process for living in a true paradise. This is something that you'll be able to tell your children and children's children in future generations about what you went through on this planet now, and how things started to change during this time. I know all of the angels, especially Albert Einstein, President Kennedy, Nostradamus, Jesus, Admiral Hilarius of the Pleiadian Commander, Mary Magdalene, Mother Mary, Chief Seattle, Chief Running Bear at Cherokee Treat, Chief Benjamin Franklin. They are all very, very proud of you, all of you listening today, for your light work. And I want you to know that we are at the finish line, and we're almost there. Archangel Michael is also helping us. He's a very, very powerful spirit. I want to read again what his message was earlier. He says, "You are being protected and helped much more than you realize. I'm here to help you through this ascension, all 8 billion of you. Humanity has sped up the timelines and will be ascending during this time in the next few years. This is much, much faster than we thought even possible a few years ago. The light workers, you light workers have all far exceeded our expectations, and we congratulate you and all the angels and benevolent spirits of this universe on your success. So treat each other with kindness, everyone. Know that there are good times ahead. This virus will end soon, and I love you all. And thank you so much again for listening today. I hope you have a beautiful and happy weekend. Bye-bye, everyone. I hope you have a beautiful day. Bye-bye. Thank you again.